It's football time in the Bluegrass. You're listening to the KSR Football Podcast.
Welcome into the KSR Football Podcast. Nick Roush here with Drew Franklin, Charles Walker, and Freddie Maggard. The KSR Football Broadcast is brought to you by our good friends at Justice Dental, your one-stop shop for all your dental needs in Lexington with two locations on either side of town. Drew, he's more of the east side.
I'm Team Blazer. Team Blazer Parkway.
Team Blazer Parkway.
Wellington.
Freddie's a Wellington guy. And you can book an appointment at either one of those locations by calling 859-543-0700. Give Justice Dental a call today. We're going to have Doc Thompson in a little bit later to chat with us and to probably scold you for not flossing.
Oh, yeah. I've been doing a bad job of that.
There's no way you've been flossing, Drew.
No, I don't even think I own floss, so I can't even lie and say that I've used floss.
I got the little pick thing.
See, that has increased my flossing tenfold.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because they're kind of
– they're fun.
Yeah, it's easy. You chew on it afterwards.
Justice Dental actually told me to keep a bowl of those just kind of like by wherever I hang out.
And then you just
– and I did it for a while, and it worked, you know, just watching TV, but then I think I forgot to refill it.
I forget to throw mine away, so I use the same one like for 2 weeks. That's probably not good.
So you're going to pack a 500. Oh. That'll last you a lifetime.
Yeah, that's probably not a good thing.
That's pretty gross, Freddy.
Uh-oh, something just went – I don't hear anything.
Oh,
are we still
going? Yeah, we're still going.
All right.
Did you just not hear anything?
I moved this.
Oh, yeah.
God. Oh, I hit that.
Jesus. Can you hear things now, Drew? Nope. Still can't hear anything. Wow, Chuck just.
I'm getting away from this.
Goodness gracious, Charles Walker. What have you done to our equipment? And you still can't hear anything, can you, Drew?
No. Talk again.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
I can hear you.
You sound great.
Which one am I?
You're the fourth one right here. We can
turn it up a little more.
Is that sound
there we
good?
Go.
Oh,
yeah.
Chuck was just being a saboteur.
Oh, sorry. We'll
Chuck
cut that
just
out.
Doesn't want to show up to football games. He doesn't want Drew Franklin to hear.
Man, I was getting roasted by some fans on those.
Oh, yeah.
Someone said, what is this, the first game or
something
like
that? Yeah, it was funny. Yeah.
Charles, please come back.
I'm here for the rest of the season.
No, come back, put your jersey on, and go catch some punts.
Oh, okay,
so we've got to talk about this Chattanooga win. It was not the win we all expected and hoped for. So here's the thing. It was a win.
It was a win, 3-0.
We're not going to have rounds of applause, but we will get to the good news. There was some good news, but let's start with the bad news. And number one, can we catch some freaking punts?
You score a touchdown. Kickoff goes out of bounds.
You get the ball in what, the
get
35?
A punt return, get a penalty for holding. So that's back-to-back special teams penalties. That's got to get cleaned up. But, Nick, I look at this game at a macro and a micro level. Macro, the big picture is Kentucky beat a top 20 FCS team. Not a great FCS team, but a good FCS team that I failed everyone in not researching, studying it like I normally do. And I apologize for that because I was not prepared for Saturday's game.
We forgive you, Freddie.
Well, I'm being completely honest and serious. I overlooked them. I was just like everybody else. And, you know, I could name a couple players, and nothing that UTC did statistically jumped out at me, very average across the board. But I didn't take into consideration a very veteran team, a top 20 team. But I looked at the 20-10 loss to Austin Peay, and I was like, you know, okay. But you have to pay respect to Chattanooga. I thought they had a great plan. Run the play clock down to zero before you snap it. Keep Kentucky's offense off the field. And play games up front. A lot of twists, turns, and all that. But here's the deal. Everybody else is going twist, turn, and stunt.
Yeah.
So, to me, the micro level is much more troubling than the macro. I saw a lot of one-on-one matchups won by Chattanooga, whether in pass rush, whether in pass coverage, pass blocking, tackling, one-on-one, the micro stuff that can be fixed, but it needs to be fixed. And then, you know, and then the turnovers. Kentucky's now minus six on the season, facing a team in South Carolina that has intercepted six passes. The turnovers and the micro one-on-one losses that I saw were very disturbing.
The turnovers, that was a – like, that's all we talked about. It was like, Drew, can we just please just don't give the other team the ball. Now, Kentucky's defense finally – they caused one when they needed one. They got the 95-yard pick six. That was some good news from Saturday. But, Drew, that one interception Will Levis threw, it was about as bad of a decision. It was like he didn't even see the guy out there.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing why there was some criticisms with his accuracy and even the way he goes through his progressions. The defender did make a great play, but that was a horrible throw he never should have made. Then one was a tipped pass. I mean, that's unfortunate. That's another pick. And, I mean, you can get away with that against Chattanooga, but if you do that at South Carolina, you're coming home with a loss.
Almost
came home with a loss against Chattanooga.
Yeah, but Charles, I don't know about you. There was only about I might have been like the second play into the drive after Chattanooga took the lead in the fourth quarter. I had a moment there where I was like, offense, you got to do something, because they couldn't run the ball. I think they only ran like 20 plays in the second half. And it was like, you got to get things going. I don't know if Levis took a sack. But once he ran the ball 21 yards down the field and kind of got that drive going, I was like, all right, why did I even have a second of worrying? Did you ever worry that the game was in doubt?
I really didn't. I thought we were going to turn it on way quicker and flip it in the second quarter. Yeah. Right before half, I kind of thought, all right, here's where we make a big play, then we go up 14, then we come out, shut them out, we score, and we steamroll them. That's what I was picturing. Didn't really happen, but I never thought we'd be walking out with an L.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the three teams Kentucky's played, Missouri was the best of the three. Then I would go Chattanooga. I think Chattanooga would beat up on ULM.
Yeah, ULM very bad. Really disappointed that they beat Jackson State, because under one wins on the season was looking ripe right there. But they were losing until the fourth quarter.
But this is a game Kentucky would have lost before, so the talent did come into play. I thought the first offensive drive was a thing of beauty.
Oh, that was a great drive.
But Kentucky got out of rhythm, out of balance. The plan, Cohen admitted, was not good. Personnel-wise, you try to take some hits off Chris Rodriguez. Everything was just discombobulated from the very – even though the first drive was successful, you know, you were seeing Magwood in there early.
A lot of chances.
Got a procedure penalty. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of players rotating in and out before the game was out of hand. It's much more difficult, Charles. You can attest or disagree, to turn it on after you're not at your best. I mean,
absolutely.
It's very hard to go from, you know, I take from not playing well to turn it up to play well. I mean, you have to come out of the gate ready to play, and Kentucky wasn't, but it got the win, and we're moving on to South Carolina.
Of all the little problems, Chuck, are there any that you think are big problems in the long run?
Turnover battle. I mean, we just can't. I think Adam Luckett had a tweet, shout out to you, that we're minus six in the turnover column, and we're 3-0.
10 fumbles in the first 10 quarters.
I mean,
that's pretty bad.
They weren't lost, but 10 times the ball got put on the turf.
So you do that at Williams Bryce Stadium with the packed crowd.
You're losing.
You're losing. And you're getting creamed. You're getting creamed.
I have two numbers that stick out at me. Other than, and we've all established that the turnover margin is bad. It's a trend now. It's just not a two-game thing happening. It's a trend. Mm-hmm. Two numbers defensively that jump out at me. Allowing 45% on third down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 13th in the SEC. That's not good. That's not Kentucky. And then maybe one that's even more concerning.
The sack rate.
105th in the nation in red zone defense.
Ooh.
Opponents are 10 out of 10, 7 out of 10 for touchdowns against Kentucky this season. So, offenses are extending drives with 45% on third down, moving the football into the red zone, and then scoring touchdowns on 7 out of 10 tries. That's concerning.
Because they can't get off the field on third down.
It's concerning.
And I think some of it's going back to the pass rush. Now, Mark Stoops is like, well, they're throwing the ball, getting rid of it quick. You still got to find a way to make plays. 9 quarterback hurries, 0 sacks.
Yeah.
1 sack in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Offensively, 9.9 yards per pass attempt is first in the SEC. I think that's good. But 128th in the nation, and I hate to keep going back here. 128 out of 128 teams in turnover margin. So, can't have that Saturday in Columbia.
Does run defense worry you at all, Freddie?
Yes, absolutely it does. You know, Ford, Elam Ford rushes for 128 yards and averages 6.1 yards per carry. And just think what Kevin – and we're getting ready – Kentucky's getting ready to face Kevin Harris, who went for over 200 last year. Harris has only played in 2 out of 3 games,
yeah,
and he's only rushed for 54 yards on 23 carry, averaging 2.4 yards per carry.
Yeah,
he's ready for a big game.
Somebody did their homework.
Yeah. He has had that back injury, though. He didn't really practice in the preseason. So, and they've been playing that kid that was a 5-star that missed all of last year.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The play that started the game off where they let a 6-yard run, you see the blitz coming on third down, and it misses.
Yeah.
And I think that's Kentucky's biggest problem this year defensively is – whenever Brad White calls shots, they're not landing. They landed 2 against Mizzou, but hasn't really popped.
The 48-yard run by Ford in the early in the game, DeAndre Square and Jaquez Jones both went to the same gap. Actually, Square ran into the back of Jones. Ford just says, hey, there's nobody in this gap, and he's off to the races. So those are things you can correct, and those are things you don't expect from – senior players.
Mm-hmm.
I also think in this game, Kentucky played hero ball.
Yep.
Meaning every player thought this was a stat-building game.
Mm-hmm.
Every play was going to be on SportsCenter and did way, way too much and got out of their assignment. Lost the micro battle and one-on-one matchups, but just try to play hero ball.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of them were just playing to get to South Carolina. And mm-hmm. as a coaching staff, that's something that you kind of go over during the week and say, hey, worry about South Carolina next week. And I mean, Liam Cohen kind of admitted it. He wasn't really game planning for Chattanooga.
Yeah.
And when the coaching staff is thinking like that, can't necessarily be upset with the players if they come out and do it too.
Is there something to at least it was in that game and not in Starkville or this coming week?
Because
you still have the win. I mean, there's one of these every year, sometimes more.
Absolutely.
Maybe, heck, they learned the hard way and still managed to escape with a win.
I think it's a great point, Drew, and that's why I've been slow rolling this Kentucky team. I didn't overreact after ULM, and I'm not overreacting after a close win over Chattanooga. Somewhere in the between there is what Kentucky is, and what it's been to this point is a team that turns the ball over. You know, 8 penalties Saturday. You got to clean things up.
I like to spin, Drew, because I'm of the belief that I'm going to walk into Kroger Field at least once in a season, and I'm just going to see a team that's not ready to play. I had one friend like, look at them. They're joking around on the sidelines. They don't take this seriously. Alabama doesn't do that. And it's like, well, Alabama's bad games are still, you know, what was the game against Western? They're up 40, and Saban was tearing into Kiffin. You know, like, every team has these. It's just they look a little bit different at different places. And I can think of – Mark Story brought up 2 of them. That Chuck, I think you remember that game against Eastern Kentucky. Do you know what happened the following week?
Mm-mm.
Went down to South Carolina and won.
Yeah.
Same thing happened, Louisiana Monroe. Needed a Michael Horton walk-off. To win, Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah, yeah, he rolled over that guy, too.
Yeah.
That's a great play.
Next week, Kentucky goes to South Carolina and wins. They're going to lay exit points. And the one that I don't want to happen, like doing that against Tennessee, that 2018 year, you could have just ripped my heart out, threw it on the ground, and salsa danced on it. Like, do not do that in those games. I'm fine with having a letdown be this week because here's the thing, too. If they came out and beat the brakes off, 160-0, I would feel nervous about this South Carolina game. I actually think that this South Carolina game, for whatever reason, people are gonna—they're gonna get some people picking against them, and they're gonna be sharing that around the locker room. Like, they don't think we can beat South Carolina. I think that you'll get—if you didn't get their attention last week for this game coming up Saturday, then nothing will.
I think some attention will be gotten with Mark Stoops going over the Ooh. Film. There's no way they won't be ready for South Carolina now. Yeah. I think about one play in particular that has me really down on the cornerbacks was Carrington Valentine trying to jump on the ball that led to a touchdown. I feel like when they go watch that on the tape, Stoops might raise his voice a little bit.
Yeah.
Wait, was that their second?
Jump on the ball that went?
It was the slip screen to the backside on the
he
touchdown.
He just completely whiffed and led to a touchdown when it didn't even need to be
he,
a touchdown.
He read it well.
And then missed the tackle. The same on the 48-yard run. Two senior linebackers went to the same hole, hit each other. Ford goes up the field. Ty Asian, who was the hero later on, totally whiffs it one-on-one. Again, one-on-one matchups.
Mm-hmm. Just and Valentine was close, but it didn't happen, and it led to 6 points.
Right.
The one play that as soon as I saw the flag, I knew what was going to happen. And I felt bad for him, but it's also like, dude, this is – Austin Dotson hasn't been given a ton of opportunities this year. I think he struggled picking up the pass pro aspects. I mean, at Belfry, he was a one-man wrecking crew rolling downhill. They're asking him to do a little bit more, and he struggled with it. They gave him an opportunity Saturday, and what does he do? 15-yard penalty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty – I mean, it was a penalty. Yeah. It was late.
But it's like – and it was a great run, too. That was one of Kentucky's few good runs, and it's a momentum drive killer. Well, this just popped into my head because that one, probably worth it. The NFL taunting penalty.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
It's so bad. It's like you make a good play and you flex, and they're
– Literally. I mean, literally.
And I was watching – I know it happened all over the league, but I was watching the Cowboys game, and they were given a gift on a taunting penalty. I couldn't believe my eyes. That was the first one of the day, and then I kind of saw that it was a theme in all the other games. That's the one I was watching live. And, heck, it looked like there's about 7 or 8 of them around all the Sunday.
Who cares? You're just like, let's just start giving 15 yards out for no reason. Because that's what they were doing. Just giving out 15 yards for no reason.
Didn't our boy Mike Edwards get one on one of his two pick sixes?
I think he did. Go get you 15-yard penalty.
I believe on his second one.
With 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, going up, 25 points, whatever it was.
Seen two defensive touchdowns on one guy? No.
In 4 minutes?
No.
that's a key detail people are leaving out as it's being passed around. It was in 4 minutes.
Yeah.
The first one, too, was that the one where he was blitzing on in the ball? I mean, like
– That was the second
one. That was
the second
one. The first one, he jumped a pass and batted
it to himself. That one was a good play. The second one really was just like you can't get any better dumb luck.
Yeah, but he continually – he did that at Kentucky. And that's what Jordan Wright does. Call him a ball hawk. They're just there. They're always
there.
Right
place, right
time. They're always there. That Mike was always there. And he had some great plays where he would jump a pass or come over as a safety and have a nice pick. But – a lot of the times, the ball just bounced his way. I don't know. The football gods are with him.
Tom Brady was bragging on him afterwards for that same reason about being a ball hawk.
He's just
and
there.
I was thinking, I know Mike Edwards grew up a huge Tom Brady fan. I'm sitting here watching Tom Brady talk about how Mike Edwards is such a playmaker. It's got to be cool for him.
And he's such a good guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, off the field, I mean, he's just wonderful. So I'm very
happy.
He's
got the uniform swag. And honestly, I think the Buccaneers have some of the best jerseys in the league.
I'm glad
they
went back to the OGs too. Yeah. Like they needed that. The red, those are red and pewter. I think
is that what we call it?
They call it pewter because I remember there's like the SB Nation site they have is like pewter pirates or something like that. I don't know why I know that, but
I'm guilty of being a Bucs fan during the All-Star years. I was bandwagon. Call me bandwagon. I adopted them during that little Super Bowl
run.
You're
good hands with All-Star.
They were a lot of fun. Warwick Dunn.
Oh, yeah. Sapp. Who was the guy that
Warren
had the picks?
When they first got those uniforms,
there was
too.
Dude with 3 picks in that Super Bowl, and I can't think of his name. He was named MVP. They beat the snot out of the Ravens that year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't have it, though.
And the thing, watching Edwards do that, it made me really miss Vito Tisdale because this Kentucky needs some Vito Tisdale, just like reckless abandonment playmaking. Like, might get out of position every once in a while, but that tip ball that, granted, it bounced right into the Chattanooga guy's hands. Devontae Robinson was there. When the ball's in the air, you just got to get to it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, just go get the ball. And instead, it's just a half second too late, and it goes into that guy's hands, and it's their longest pass play of the day. That's the kind of stuff, like, man, Vito, between that and the blitzing from that corner spot, he'd be raising all kinds of hell. And I'm just I don't want to go over that a ton, but it's just there's some stuff out there where you're like, man, you can really use those guys right now.
Andrew and the Phillips. Cornerback depth, Phillips too. I mean, Juton McClain, they don't need him, but, I mean, he's missing out on big opportunities. There's other guys getting the ball right now.
Yeah. Donut was out there quite a bit running motion stuff out, in different formations and stuff like that. And that was set to be McClain's role. So Donut's been the benefactor instead. He needs to make the most of it. Do we have any more bad news? Because I think we do need to get to some of the good news.
Of which there was plenty.
Yeah, there was.
I mean, we had to sweat it out more than we thought we would.
Right.
But there were still lots of good things.
We couldn't have our stories written by the time the game was over with.
I predicted 55-7, just a little bit off.
I was 42-3.
Yeah, I was a little.
I did hit the Bama-Florida game, though.
Oh, Fresno State. But my best call of the year, I just was mad I didn't money on it.
I piggybacked that off you. I didn't know nothing about it, but I knew you were confident.
All over that Fresno State game.
Good job, Nick.
And shout out to let's just talk about that Penn State craziness for a second.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Bo Nix. I mean, not like that bad, but like he had chances and just – fourth and one fade from the goal line? What are you doing?
That play, there's no worse play in football for me. I don't care if you're Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady throwing it. I hate that play.
Worst play, the goal line fade or the quarterback draw?
Quarterback draw.
I really hate the goal line fade.
I think quarterback – what works more, though? Because I feel like once in a blue moon you get a quarterback draw to work. And then, like, if you've got Seth Williams, if you have some guys out there, the goal line fade can work.
Dwayne Baker, EKU.
What did we make of the targeting that changed the game in Happy Valley?
That was a bad call.
What do you want him to do?
I don't know.
He even said in the post game, he's like, "So I'm supposed to let him score? Like, tell me what to do."
That's a terrible call. So I did love the goal line fade because I had Penn State. So thank you very much.
Also had Penn State.
Here's another question. Would you take two Hail Marys or gain the 15 yards and then try to score from the 25? Because they'd had a chance to tie it. Auburn was able to get the ball back.
I just – they've – all in college football, they've been doing the short pass with the fumble-rooskies, and I think the Hail Mary works better than that. But he keeps it – I mean, there's more chances. I don't know.
It ended Dylan Gabriel season.
Yes, it did.
I'll be honest.
What is that play call?
I was watching South Carolina against Georgia's third team. I didn't see any of the Penn State game.
It was a good game. We missed it. It was a heck of a good game.
I had to get dialed back in. I failed last week. I took an L.
I like it.
Yeah.
You're taking things seriously?
I am.
So, Freddie, before we dive into that, because you have been diving into it, you've been watching the tape.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring up some of the good news that we saw on Saturday, some things I like. The biggest thing that I like is that Will Levis, despite having an off day, I think he overthrew Wandale on a shot earlier, and then the rest of the day he was kind of short arm and stuff. Everything was a little bit short. But, man, he has a really good sense of what's happening around him. I think he might have taken one sack maybe.
One sack.
But every other – man, there was a couple throws where he hung in there on third and long situations, delivered the ball and got the first down.
Yeah.
I was impressed with some of those plays and not being rattled, because some of the picks he threw, things were – like, it's really easy to get down on yourself, and yet he hung in the pocket and continued to make some big throws.
Yeah, I don't think interceptions are going to bother Will Levis. I think he's that confident in his skill set. I thought he did some really good things on the drives that Kentucky was balanced and on rhythm. I thought it looked great. But then had some off-platform throws that didn't go his way. I think it was like five consecutive drives that ended with a turnover or a punt.
Which is completely uncharacteristic. Yeah. Like if in all the other games it was touchdown or turnover. Yeah. Like there wasn't much of that. But
The game was uncharacteristic for him. But I think he's mentally tough. You know, when Kentucky had to score, marched right down the field, took the lead.
Yeah.
So I thought he did some really good things.
I liked the play made with his feet, about a 20-yarder. Mm-hmm. That was a big run.
Yeah.
Got things going.
Got things going. He didn't hesitate. I mean, he saw his lane and took it. He's obviously a good runner. That was a big play.
The position group today that's going to get hammered the worst, in my opinion, is the offensive line. I saw a lot of one-on-one losses there that's got to get fixed.
The play that was one of those, like, ooh, that was cool. The Isaiah Epps touchdown was awesome.
Yeah, it was a great play.
I liked both Isaiah touchdowns.
Yeah. We had two firsts for Isaiah Cummings and Isaiah Epps. Both got their first touchdowns. Epps's was just a
– Wait, that was Epps' first touchdown?
Yeah.
I don't think I realized that.
Yeah.
All right. Good for him.
They had a guy – Epps was running out of the slot. They had a guy on the outside. It looked like Epps was going to block his man, the other man, for a screen. Instead, he slips it, runs a wheel. Levis gives the pump fake to the outside man on the screen, and then Epps is just standing there.
Yeah.
And, Chuck, I don't know if this is the case with you, but I hate – like, the wide-open ones, I think, are harder than the – like, if I'm playing basketball – put a hand in my face. Do not give me a wide open look. I start thinking about it. But both of those, in Epps' case and in Cummings' case, Cummings is third. I don't know if it was third down or not.
I think Cummings made a great catch. Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah, it was a catch. Yeah, but nobody was around him.
Yeah.
Did you get? Is that the case?
You don't really think about it.
Okay.
I mean, no.
There's way more time
to think about a punt that's in the air hanging for 5 seconds than you got. Three Georgia guys, and you're on your own 10, and if you drop it, it's a touchdown. And then, you know, faking a slip, and the ball's there. And I think it's funny when you catch the ball like a certain way. Like when I'm on the right side, when I was on the right side, you do a whole shot that way. That was an easier catch than the opposite. So turning my head right, like that's weird to me. That was weird to me.
Just like a funky.
It's just the difference. Yeah, I guess the difference in like maybe my dominant hand on the bottom versus the top. It's just.
Yeah.
It is. It's weird.
I wish people could see you doing your hands too.
Yeah,
that was like a fun little dance.
Well, I mean, literally here.
Maybe
that
can be your new TikTok trend.
Do it again.
Fancy like here. Fancy like there.
Okay. Makes sense.
Can we also talk about Freddie's sweatshirt?
Yeah,
today?
I thought we were going to start the show with it.
What's going on?
I need one.
I think it looks good.
Well, Charles, you can get one if you shop like I do at the Burlington Coat Factory, a non-paid advertisement.
There's a new one opening up right by my house.
$7 for this.
Powder blue tie-dye that just says Savage
That's
over
right.
it.
And it's dripping.
It is dripping.
That's how savage you
You've
are.
Got some drip
I do.
Right now.
I'm pretty cool, aren't I?
I mean, yeah.
And he's repping the Sunday Night Football runner-up on
his
hat, too.
Yeah.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Devin Key. Practice squad.
Is he?
Yeah.
Good.
Isaiah Cummings, that was a great play call. Also was the touchdown to Isaiah Epps. Beautiful concepts by Cohen. Yeah. I think the development of Isaiah Cummings is so big. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just gives you another dynamic playmaker. On top of Wandale and Josh, you get a tight end that can get out and get vertical like that. That's a positive.
And the confidence in that. I mean, your first one, he's a freshman, like a redshirt freshman. I mean, he's going to be a good player.
Wandale Robinson, he's got 3 100-yard receiving games.
It's pretty good. When's the last time?
I don't know that he's going to slow down either.
Well, I think, we kind of already talked about it. We were playing get to USC. I think they were saying, hey, let's not really use him unless we have to because he's not very big and he likes to take some big hits and then deliver some. So it was kind of like, hey, maybe you should sit out this third down. But you can't really do that when you're down in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I think they'll get creative with him this weekend.
What's your Corey Price stat about 300-yard receiving games? Yeah. I know there's one out there.
There's got to be one out there.
I'm going to go with LaRod King as my guess.
I would have guessed
in a row?
Yeah. Randall Cobb?
Definitely wasn't anytime soon.
No. I guess Garrett didn't do that.
He would be my guess if it was a recent one, but I don't remember one.
I'm trying to – we're scrolling through the Corey Price stats.
Here we go. Derek Abney.
Wow.
2001.
Ooh.
Wow. I didn't think he'd go that far back.
That's – crazy.
He's awesome, isn't he, Corey?
20 years? He really is.
How does he do that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I know how he does the newspaper stuff. I don't know how he gets these obscure stats like that.
Most receiving yards by a UK player in a single three-game span since Keenan Burton had 359 in 2006. Oof. 337 yards during this three-game span.
He's the first ever to have three straight to start his season and first since Abney. I can't believe it since Abney.
Yeah, that is crazy. Isaiah Cummings' touchdown, do you know who the last male product to score a touchdown was?
Terry Samuels.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding. I knew he was your guy. So
he was my guy.
Yeah.
Terry Samuels.
Fullback, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I always say the three best fullbacks ever to play Kentucky. Andy Murray, Terry Samuels, and
the Taco Meat.
Connor. Montel Allen.
Remember Taco Meat?
Oh, I love Taco Meat.
Yeah. He got in trouble for ripping a parking meter off.
Yeah. That parking meter shouldn't have been talking trash. That's what I say about that parking meter.
I forgot about that.
That's hilarious.
Will Tom.
Will Tom's a great name, too.
Oh, yeah. Really.
Yeah, it is.
Just two names. Like, we need to get that.
It's a parking meter.
We need to get the two name thing back, too.
We do.
So I'll work on another kid, and we'll call him Dan Bill.
All right.
Here we go. That'll be the next one we get.
Yeah, so if you're from the 606, you're always called by two names, by people that's kin to you or know you're good.
Freddie Wayne.
I'm Freddie Wayne. What are you?
Oh,
what's your name?
Nicholas Loring. That's too much of a mouthful.
No, you're out.
Andrew Michael. That's just usually when I'm in trouble, but, yeah.
That's a good one.
Chuck.
Dude, I can – Andrew Michael is urine.
Oh, when I hear that one, it's run.
It's bad.
It's run. Run far.
Oh, man.
When you have biblical names that go back to back and they're screened by your parents, you're in trouble.
Yeah. My great aunts were all Mary something, you know. It's a big Catholic thing. You're like a Mary Jane, Mary Lou. You had to have Mary in there. That's the only way you're going to turn out to be a good person. So
there's just not enough Will Toms, though.
No.
Need a lot more Will Toms.
Obviously, I know where he's from, but if I didn't know, I could still tell you with the name Will Tom. That's mountains. It's Eastern
Kentucky.
He's
Breathitt County.
Yep.
Oh, home of Justin Haddix.
Yep.
Yeah. Freddie, do we know who's KSR Game of the Week this week?
Yes, that would be your Pikeville Panthers visiting your Lexington Christian Academy Eagles.
Man, I know this is mostly a Kentucky football podcast, but we have to mention, how crazy that Beachwood crowd was
at
Friday night's Kroger KSR Game
crazy,
of the Week. I mean,
crazy.
Sold out, 3,000 people there. Like, that
was
awesome.
Both student sections were there an hour before the game. Packed.
That's
UK
crazy.
Doesn't even do that.
Packed.
That was crazy.
And then Barkley gets a coffee from a coffee truck. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah.
He had the coffee truck at the game.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
I would have preferred a beer truck.
I tell you, I saw
– can't have that.
I saw one of the craziest crowds I've ever seen in my life Friday. Woodford County beat Franklin County. And there was not – you couldn't get another person in that stadium.
Really?
All of Woodford County was there.
Yellow Jackets,
5-0 with the number one RPI in 5A right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a practice field I see when I'm driving?
Yes.
Okay.
They don't even use that. They have a practice field over by the stadium. The stadium's over by my house.
Gotcha.
The school's on the other side of town.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other big game, Lexington Christian, who's going to be playing this week.
Yeah.
They got into it –
a little bit of a scandal there.
Yeah, with a mascot who is – so here's the thing, Chuck. They had a guy who was in the mascot, the Lexington Christian mascot.
Student or a guy?
See, that's the thing. I think the kids from Lexcast say they thought he was a student. So they did the thing where you push them while they're peeing and you, like, shake them around, try to get them to pee all over yourself.
Mm.
They rushed in the bathroom while he was in there.
Man.
In full Eagle costume.
Oh.
Turns out it was a janitor.
Oh.
People are not happy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which?
Well, why is the janitor in the mascot costume, though? Can we talk about that?
I mean, everybody needs a mascot.
Yeah,
who's to say the janitor can't do it?
I'm not saying you can't, but isn't that weird?
Yeah, shouldn't.
Is it normally a student?
I think it's always. Like, that's the whole
point. I mean.
Maybe he's just really, really good at his job.
Maybe
he could be.
Yeah. But, like,
could he just stop peeing, though?
I don't know.
I mean, they were pretty aggressive and, like, shouting at him. I would imagine he was terrified. There's video of it. It was out of bounds for sure. Too far.
Too much.
Either way, it is. What, the players or the –
No, like, just
okay. Just students.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that rivalry just went up a notch.
Oh, yeah.
The Holy War. So people are calling it. Yeah. But Lexington Christian, they've got
they're good.
Xavier Brown,
and Mason Moore,
who's getting some D1 looks. I know Maryland, Illinois, Virginia.
He's committed to Virginia.
He did commit to Virginia. Yeah. Okay, and then Mason Moore,
Miami of Ohio.
Yeah.
Then Neves, the quarterback for LCA, is really good too. They have a good team. 2A is going to be really good with Beachwood and LCA kind of trending towards that rematch.
They can beat a lot of the big schools. Yeah. I mean, every bit of it. So, big game coming up on Friday. All right, let's talk about the big game Saturday. South Carolina, a place that I got to say is one of the louder, more impressive. Like, it just – not only do they do the sandstorm – But the stadium bounces because they go up and down. They wave their towels. They bounce. I mean, you can feel the press box shaking when you're there. It gets rowdy. And then Rooster Crows, this is going to be Kentucky's first true road game since 2019. The only game they won that year was at Vandy. That's not even a true road game.
No, so, like, that's a home crowd.
Exactly. So this is a lot of these kids, too. They haven't played. It's two classes worth of people that haven't played in an atmosphere like this. And they got to be ready.
You ready for this? Will Levis on Instagram, W.LEV.
Mm-hmm.
His story right now is on repeat all week. You want to know what song it is?
Sandstorm.
You know what I'm saying?
He's steering into the skin.
I mean, on repeat all week.
Do you all play that in the locker room?
They do.
Us?
So we actually – Coach will play it at during practice.
Or during
the
locker room, but in practice.
So,
and then the rooster, they have the rooster crowing too in practice.
Oh, man, it's annoying.
It's so bad.
No, the worst is Mississippi State with the cowbells because Stoops just, also does that.
That just sounds like you're shaking. Yeah.
But, I mean, I will say, I'm sure it does help in the game. I mean, it gets, like you said, it's loud. It's the cowbells, I still don't understand how those are even legal, but we'll talk about Sandstorm. It's loud. That's one of the most cool kickoff or punt returns image I've ever experienced.
And you know what? The thing, too, that I wasn't sure about going into this year with the new coach, just how, I mean, you know, really having to escape with a win at East Carolina. I just wasn't sure what the buy-in from the team, from the fans would be. But for all intents and purposes, people are big fans of Beamer Ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though Georgia beat the brakes off of them.
They didn't quit.
Yeah.
South Carolina is better than I thought they were after watching them. I tell you what, South Carolina, up front, this is going to be a challenge for the Kentucky offensive line, and it's going to take a tremendous rebound from how they played last week. Sterling Ellis, Jabari Ellis is a havoc creator at tackle, and then Kingsley Enagbare
he's good.
He plays that role that Josh Allen played at Kentucky as a buck linebacker, as they title it. He's very good. He's first team All-SEC. He can get after the passer. So, Darryl Rosenthal is going to have to play a much better game than he played against Chattanooga.
They threw Flax in there a ton. And that's – they need Dare.
Yeah.
They need Dare to be on his A game.
Yeah, he needs – yeah.
But I think we can agree the players are ready for this game.
They better be, because if they're not, they're going to get beat, because South Carolina, again, is much better than I thought. They're totally bought into Beamer. They're going to be – crazy environment, first SEC game at home.
Mm-hmm.
If you just compare units or groups, defensive line advantage will go to South Carolina.
Yeah,
linebackers.
You
push it best.
Yeah,
secondary push it best, right? Because of the corner situation, mm-hmm. the lack of depth. Offensively, I think Kentucky gets the advantage at offensive line and at quarterback.
Yep.
And at receiver. But Josh Van for South Carolina is a vertical shot. Mm-hmm. He had three catches for 128 yards and a touchdown against Georgia. That's pretty daggone good.
Yep.
So I think Carolina is going to feature Kevin Harris, because Kentucky's not really stopped the run this year, and then have some vertical shot play action passes to Van against these Kentucky corners. So it's going to be a challenge. I mean, it's going to be a tough ask for Kentucky to go down and win. But if you can't go down and beat South Carolina, that's in year one of rebuild, then the next three are going to be a little bit too much to ask for.
The thing that Cohen admitted after the game, too, that I think hampered them is the way that Kentucky did not establish the run early.
Yeah.
You're going to see that on Saturday, Drew. Chris Rodriguez, he wasn't even in. He didn't even smell the first series.
Yeah, I think Rodriguez might have shown up to the game thinking he might not be playing much, so everything got thrown off pretty quickly when it was a close game. I think they'll be able to run the ball, and, yeah, you talk about it could be a bad look if you lose to South Carolina, but if you go down there and put it on them, what is that? 7 out of 8 now? Yeah. I mean, I didn't think Kentucky would ever have 7 out of 8 against an SEC team that's not Vandy. So, I mean, you've got – two teams in your division you've really got a hold of. And
oh, yeah. Both play, live in Columbia.
Yeah, and you play Missouri pretty well.
There you go. Oh, that is great.
There you go. Make it 3.
So yeah. My dad said when we went there my sophomore year, fans were nice as can be. We had just beaten them at home. Fans were nice as can be. Yeah, Kentucky, because they thought they were going to steamroll us.
2015, yeah.
We win.
Denzel Ware.
Come back, we beat him again. Come back again my senior year, and he said – the exact opposite was of the fans. Now the fans, you know, hated Kentucky because yeah. They realized, man, this is a game.
Hey, they're nasty down there too.
They are. They're that.
They're underrated as
jerks.
That's the exact word I was about to say because Freddie's daughter's here, and the other word I was going to say probably shouldn't say. But they are a sneaky fan base for kind of mixing it up a little bit. I've been to several basketball games, not football games, but there's always a fight and a little crossing the line with the trash talk.
Kind of similar to Louisville fans, like just don't know where the line is.
Yeah,
they're just over the top.
Yeah,
you know?
Like some of the taunts aren't even clever; it's just expletives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, so. It's not good.
Yeah, they're a very unlikable group, or they can be at times.
And I think South Carolina is going to have the same vibe Kentucky had about Missouri. You know, last year Kentucky got a bad taste in the mouth by getting beat up by Missouri. I'm sure South Carolina feels the same way. Come up here with all those opt-outs and people injuries and COVID and get beat up on. I'm sure they're looking for a payback trip.
Well,
and this is a game that the fans, coaches, and players circle on their schedule. This is an SEC game we can win. You know, just going by logos.
Yeah.
So,
well,
Kentucky's going to get Carolina's best shot. Just put it that way.
I do believe too that if there's a unit that's due for a bounce back, it is the offensive line.
Yes.
Not only, one, do they need it, but two, Eric Wolford was coaching South Carolina last year. And the guy is, you know, he's not for the faint of heart. He's going to get after them, and he's going to remind them that these guys that you're going up against, they ain't no joke. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Javon Kinlaw walking through that door, but they still got some dudes out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you better bring your A game. And if Kentucky I think part of the reason why, you know, Levis is going to get a little bit more criticism for his performance from last Saturday. He wasn't able to rely on a run game to kind of open things up for him. You pound the rock early. You get Rodriguez rolling. You get smoke rolling. And then it really opens up things for the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky's going to have to stay balanced. And didn't start the game balanced last week, but got to start balanced and stay balanced. So, yeah.
Make it happen, Cats. Man, I actually will not be making the trip this weekend down to Columbia. First time I haven't been down there in a long time. But that is a great atmosphere, a great place to watch a football game. I really, really despise them, though. And this South Carolina team, even though they're better than expected, they're still not good. Like, come on.
Got a banged-up quarterback right now.
Yeah. What was it, the quote they had about Zeb's hand?
Bandaged. Can't throw. I feel like if you got a big bandage on.
Look, Jody played wide receiver last year. They had Dekarion Joyner playing quarterback. He's now back at wide receiver. You gotta beat this team.
And then 4-0. I mean, do we bring game day to town?
Just not.
I'm not looking past, but I'm just getting a little excited for the following weekend. Night game, we learned today.
Just not SEC game day, please.
Oh, well, hold on. Speaking of SEC, let's talk about SEC Network Plus. How did it go? Did you get to – I assume you watched the game. You've been talking about it, but we need to hear about your experience.
Did not enjoy it. I finally signed up for ESPN Plus after some coaching.
Okay.
And I got it hooked up. I couldn't transfer it to my TV. That's a bridge too far. But I had it on my computer, which is like your – I mean, it's little.
Mm-hmm.
So that aggravated me.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Stoops was coaching for Kentucky on 3 different occasions.
The broadcast crew did not have a lot of respect for Mark Stoops.
What in the world?
I was in a bad mood when I got to the pregame show, and I stayed in this whole week. Last week was just, you know, I was unprepared. I had to watch a game on my computer, which was stupid. And, you know – during the game, I'm thinking back, I said Chattanooga had a 0.0 chance to win and was up 16-14 in the fourth quarter. I'm thinking, I'm going to be the biggest idiot. Yeah. You know how many people are going to bring this up? And they should have. I should have never said that. That's my bad. I didn't do a good job. So,
but also, you know, you haven't lost to an FCS school in over five decades. So there's a little bit of all of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we were definitely wrong, but it's not like we were crazy.
I do have some questions here, Freddie. I want to ask you one quickly before we get to Doc Thompson. Freddie, is there like any adjustments in particular that you want to see happen from the defense? That comes from our friend Austin, who's listening to the show.
Yeah, win one-on-one matchups. Schematically, I don't think there's anything different that Brad White can do. I mean, he's doing everything he can to win football games. Kentucky's one of the best teams in the country as far as not giving up plays of 20 yards plus. So not allowing the home run. There's some dink and dunk goes involved. Really not stopping the run game as we've seen him before. But I mean, we're talking like this is a strange occurrence. Every one of us harped on it about how hard it was going to be to replace five pros on that defense. It's proven to be a tough task to replace five pros that are on NFL rosters right now. Plus, an all-timer in Boogie Watson, who is high on the tackles for loss and sack list, that's a lot to replace for any school. For Kentucky, it's proven to be a challenge, and I don't think we understood just how much that challenge is going to be until we get the product where Alem Ford rushes for 128 yards against Kentucky.
Ben had one more question, too. Can we make it a rule that Freddie can no longer guarantee wins?
Yes. Yeah. Matter of fact, just wait till Saturday to what I pick.
Oh, no. It's ominous. Well, Freddie, don't know.
I got to call it like I see it.
Yeah, boy,
big mind and heart game here Saturday for a lot of people, including me. I'm not going to say what I'm on.
I don't like where this is going.
I feel like we were just taking a train to Negative Town there.
Freddie, I got my tool belt on. I'm about to drop my hammer, so I don't care.
Oh, on minus five?
Uh-huh.
It's down to five.
Down to five. Good. I love it.
Minus five?
I guarantee it drops a 3-4 kickoff.
I tell you what,
I wanted
didn't
it
hit.
Six. I'm going to buy it up to six.
I was invested in Kentucky over 41 points on Saturday. And I didn't even have to sweat it out because it never stood a chance.
No.
I did double down at halftime. And
oh,
got the second half over at the last second there.
Yeah, did have to sweat it out, though.
Nope. At minus five, I'm with you. I'm bringing out the hammer.
I got my hard hat on, got my tool belts with me.
What if I told you it. Kentucky's only won once as an SEC road favorite?
Good. About to be twice.
There we go. I like it. That's the spirit. Get on the positive train. Get the negative train out of town. Well, Doc Thompson, we're happy you're here with – from our good friends at Justice Dental. How are Drew's teeth looking, first and foremost?
Always a pleasure to see these teeth in person today, which, I mean, up close and personal, they look excellent.
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to jump in here and check things out.
Yeah.
I was just there recently, so I feel like I'm still pretty good. right before you got here, I did confess that flossing's been an issue. I might need a little pep talk on getting back on the right track with that, but we'll get there.
I bought the little stick things, Doc.
Yeah.
But I forget to change them out, and I use the same one for like 2 weeks. Is that bad?
Man, I always tell people, as long if you're flossing, you're ahead of the game to begin with.
Okay.
So just as long as you're doing something there,
I think
you'll be okay.
All right.
I don't know that the ADA will stand beside that, but I will, if they're not listening, that'd be great. And Drew, I'm sure once you hit your massive bet on UK this weekend on the five or whatever it goes to, you can buy as much floss as you'd like, man.
I'll buy a floss. Next week I'll show up. If we hit the minus five, floss for everybody.
All right, man. We can make that happen.
Are you feeling confident right now or are you feeling shaky? Some people were down after the win, and I would like to be a person who's optimistic, who's saying just throw the film in the trash, but I know some people are worried.
Sure. I'm on a group thread about everybody is with these guys, and, you know, I was hearing the negativity after the game, and I sat there for 10 minutes, and I took a breath, and I said, guys, a W is a W. We got a new offensive coordinator. We got a new quarterback. We're getting all the kinks out. We won. We're 3-0. We're undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the top of the SEC in terms of my eyes.
Yeah. I'll take it.
You know, so I was shaky for 10 minutes. I took a breath, and I thought, you know what? We're going to be good, and I'm excited for the weekend and excited to give a prediction here in a few minutes with you guys.
Nice. I agree. We're new territory where we're a little better than we've ever been, but we're not in let's complain when we're 3-0 territory.
Ooh, no,
we're
yeah,
still
yeah, yeah.
We're still happy with 3-0 no matter how it looks when you're Kentucky. Everybody's happy with 3-0.
I heard a lot of the guys like, you know, this is Kentucky's being Kentucky. Heard that a bunch. I said, you know what, man? I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think so. And I mean, I think Freddie could probably attest to that better than anybody, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
that makes me mad.
I agree. And it made me upset as well. And that's why I said, guys, let's take a breath here.
The thing that really stood out to me Saturday that I had to remind myself about the new offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, always had a call plays, but he also has been around people calling plays for pros. And he said, you know, I got to remind myself that because I call a shot, in the pros it might not always be the case, but in the college when you tell a guy, hey, we're running a shot, they're probably going to throw it. We don't need to throw all of those. So I think there's an adjustment period to getting into coaching a 22-year-old versus a 28-year-old who's been doing this a while, who might have a little bit more discipline. You know, it's a learning process. He's still figuring out the right yin and yang, and you know what? I will take that in a win, those struggles in a win over a loss every single time.
I liked what Levis said after the game. I mean, if they would have blown him out, I don't know what – I mean, it was a wake-up call for him, you know? I mean, it would have been easy to go down there and had a big point spread and then be looking to Florida the next week. And I think they woke up, and I think they're going to be ready for the game Saturday. So we'll take the glass half full mentality, in my opinion.
Love it. Well, let's look ahead to some of the games. We already mentioned the Kroger KSR game of the week. There's some big games on Saturday beforehand, and one I didn't know that was on the slate that's pretty, pretty intriguing. It's from a conference that Freddie doesn't like to pay attention to, but – Wisconsin is hosting Notre Dame, and they are 5.5-point favorites. That's awfully intriguing.
In Chicago, right?
Yeah, at Wrigley Field.
Oh, it's at Wrigley.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know it was being played there.
So that'll be it'll be a cool-looking game. Is this at Wrigley? And it's also going to be just – I mean, the amount of just – Hobnob and Notre Dame fans that are going to be there. Just
a lot of Notre Dame around Chicago.
It's going to be disgusting. So, and they haven't been very impressive, and neither is Wisconsin. I have no idea where I would go with this, Chuck.
Yeah, when it comes down to games like this, I just kind of bet with my heart or choose with my heart. I'm not a Notre Dame lover. You know, Rudy's is a good movie.
I love Rudy.
I agree. I mean, okay.
And he was not offsides.
And I love Rudy as well. But something about Notre Dame just rubs me wrong. How that being said, I do like that tight end from Covcath. He's
Michael
fun to
Mayer.
Watch, and he's huge, and he's going to be in the NFL, and he's going to be a star. But I'd take Wisconsin.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, I don't know what I think about Wisconsin's quarterback, Mertz. He throws some bad interceptions.
From my own personal experiences, anytime I've gotten confident in Wisconsin and then I've sat down to watch them, have a little money on them, they play the worst football I've ever seen. I've never been a believer in Wisconsin. I, by marriage, even though I'm still not married, have kind of will be joining a Notre Dame family, so I've kind of had to adopt them. So I kind of don't tell them. I didn't really like Notre Dame for a long time, and I'm having to pretend.
We won't.
They've grown on me. You know, we got Notre Dame stuff up in the living room, so I kind of have to root for them.
I'm sorry about that.
It is weird. It's a weird feeling.
Do you have any hunch one way or the other on this one?
Not a huge hunch. I mean, I was actually at the dinner with a massive Notre Dame fan on Friday, and he was giving me some insights in the game. He's actually going to the game with a ton of guys. And, you know, my what's the line? What did y'all say? Five and a half? Five?
Yeah.
Five. My hunch initially would be Notre Dame. I haven't watched a ton of Wisconsin. I have watched two Notre Dame games and have not been massively impressed, but they're still in the national spotlight. I mean, they're still obviously a vine to be in the top four here, and I think this is their chance to get there potentially. I don't know that they'll get there this year. They're undefeated, right?
Yeah. They left the back door open against Purdue, though. Was really hoping that Purdue would – go up and do something there. They They aren't rolling out really dumb uniforms, Freddie, thankfully. They usually do in this series. Like, they're just adding, like, three stripes. Like, it's not anything crazy.
Well, I mean, I think the conversation's interesting. Doc Thompson went to Owensboro Catholic, and Chuck went to St. X. So I was expecting different answers. But I'll take Wisconsin here. Notre Dame has not impressed me this year. I mean, the first game of the year beat a bad Florida State team, struggled against Toledo. True.
That's a bad
and,
Florida
you know,
State team.
I know he's kinfolk, but was you know didn't exactly – blow the doors off Purdue, and I'll take Wisconsin in five.
It looks like it's 5.5, about to be 6.
You know which game that I think could end up flipping the script that I'm looking forward to?
What's that?
Western Kentucky is hosting Indiana, and they're almost 10-point underdogs. And I know that sometimes the fans in the western part of the state, you know, they can get a little unnecessarily hostile.
Mm-hmm.
Like, guys, you're Western. Like, let's all be friends here. You don't have to want to, like, fight UK fans. Let's all get on the same page and beat those good-for-nothing Hoosiers down.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you have Western connections. Most of my family went to Western. I want us to get along with them.
Yeah.
And I know they beat Mark Stoops early on, and that was a big win for them. But I don't like this bad blood between UK and Western. I want to root for you all.
Let's all
and I am going to root for you all.
Come together.
To beat Indiana.
They're hosting them, too. I bet that's going to be a packed stadium down there.
The hill is going to be out of – you won't even be able to get up the hill down there. I've spent a lot of time down there. I had a lot of family members go down to the tops, and I'll be rooting from hard. I mean, that's in my backyard from Owensboro. I know Drew's as well. So, I mean, I've always rooted for Western. I mean, I remember coming up on the opposite side of things here with my dad to a UK basketball game, and Western beat us at Rupp. I don't know if y'all remember that game or not. That blew my mind. I wasn't rooting for Western. I didn't want them to win the game, but I left out of the Rupp Arena feeling like, well, at least it was Western. I mean, that was just me. I mean, I don't know. Not a lot of other fans probably thought that, but I'm all in. WKU, go for it, man. I hope they put the Hoosiers down.
I'll be singing Stand Up and Cheer.
Tops on top. T-O-P-S.
I'm a hater. Don't like them. They don't play anyone all year, and then they have some good teams, and then they always say, well, we do fine in the SEC, or we do fine in the ACC. So they're wannabe Kentucky, and they're wannabe Louisville, whatever you want to call them. I don't like them.
I think
I'm making Indiana -9. So
wow, Indiana stinks. They're overrated. They got the doors beat off them by Cincinnati.
Who's good and led by a St. X Tiger? Let's just say that. Maybe Heisman candidate Desmond Ridder.
Oh, my stud. Goodness, Chuck. Just slow your roll down. Slow your roll down here. Tennessee is going to lose by 1,000 to Florida. Freddie, Emory Jones, is he good?
Yes, he's good. Yes, he's good. Overreaction, didn't play well early. His first year as a full-time starter. Everybody was calling for Anthony Richardson. That didn't happen.
Man, they look good in that
Florida
game.
Florida looks really good to me.
As bad as that two-point play was, though. That was the worst-looking two-point conversion.
Yeah.
That was not a read option. That was a let's both run in the hole at the same time and then wait to get tackled.
The consensus is today that a lot of people are downplaying Alabama instead of praising Florida. I'm praising Florida because I thought they played a great football game. Got down big early, came back, fought back, almost won. What's the spread?
Oh, that spread is 14, I believe. Florida over
20.
Tennessee.
No, it's 20.
20? Oh, sorry about that. I got distracted because I saw Kansas is playing Duke, and I was like, you want to talk about the worst football game in one of the better basketball games.
Hold on. They should just play basketball.
I got to find my tool belt here real quick.
Uh-oh. He's getting it out.
Bam.
Uh-oh. Freddie just hit the table with a hammer.
Give me the Gators.
Oh,
so,
man.
I got to confess something. I had that Fans First, Fans Fest, Only Fans, Fans Fest Saturday night after the UK game.
Only Fans.
So, you know, I'm working with not with Roush, but we have football stuff, and I have Bama, Florida on, loving it. Love a good CBS broadcast. And I have to leave, and Alabama's killing them, and I just see the final score, and it was a two-point game. I didn't see any of the second half or how Florida looked so good, but – just seeing them keep it close, I'm a little more worried about a week five, not looking ahead. But Florida looks good.
I swear it all started, first off, their kick returner had the fair catch, muffed it, the ball rolls out of bounds at the half-yard line, and he acts like – him pointing and being like, nah, don't worry about it, was going to make the ref put the ball to 25 and they were going to start from there. And the referee's just blowing his whistle, looking at the guy like, the ball rolled out right here. This is where you're starting the drive. But then Alabama's linebacker could have easily stopped an angle route from a running back who had like 70 yards on that possession. They go down and they score. If he just tackles him there, I think it's a completely different ballgame.
That wasn't the weirdest special teams play of the game, though, Saturday. Did you see what happened, Doc Thompson, in the Memphis and Mississippi State game?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you watch SportsCenter, you saw it, son, and that's on my TV a lot. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, crazy, crazy thing there. The ref actually kind of, like, blew a – kind of, like, threw his hands out. And I think that added to it a little bit. I think some of those guys stopped playing. But, I mean, kudos to the Memphis guy. I mean, just heads-up play. Wild, right? Just
play until they tell you not to.
Absolutely.
Until they blow it dead. And that's what infuriated me is, like, refs should let the play on for as long as it's happening. Boise State was losing by one with 4 or 5 minutes to go. They get a scoop and score, and the ref blows it dead when he's 10 yards away from running the end zone. Like, the guy had already picked up the fumble, was running with nobody around him. They blow it dead. That would have given them the lead playing Oklahoma State at home. Review says, okay, it actually, you were right. It was a fumble, but we can't give you the touchdown, but you get the ball back. So all they got to do is kick a chip-shot field goal, right? Gets tipped at the line. They miss a 28-yard field goal, lose the game, all because the ref didn't let him play on. I was losing my mind watching that unfold. Like, refs, just let the guys play. Just let them play.
Didn't let them play.
They didn't let them play.
And
didn't.
I had Boise to cover. Didn't happen.
All right, well, the game that we all care about. South Carolina hosts Kentucky. It's been a pretty nice place for the Cats recently, except for their last trip down there when Sawyer Smith's arm, it was clear as day at that point that something was off. But if you all will recall, Kentucky was in danger of having its only shutout of the Mark Stoops era. They put Lynn Bowden at quarterback with Chris Rodriguez, two guys who, I mean, Lynn had never played the spot. Chris was just another guy. At that point, he was just the third running back that wasn't playing a lot, maybe even the fourth. And those two guys lead Kentucky down the field, changes the trajectory of the season. And now Kentucky is back with a new look, South Carolina under Shane Beamer. We got some Beamer ball going. They're going to play sound. They're going to play physical. They're going to play hard. Drew, how are you feeling about this game?
I'm pretty confident, but I was also pretty confident this past weekend. So I got to reel that back a little bit. But I just don't think South Carolina is very good at all. Their quarterback that's been playing, as we all know, was supposed to be a coach. Now he's got a bandage on his arm and isn't practicing. I think with Kentucky having a close scare, I know their minds will be right in this game, and I think they win. We get to 4-0 and see what's next from there.
Charles, I know you're feeling optimistic.
I think of South Carolina, I think of about four things. Packed stadium that's loud and enthusiastic. Think of Steven Johnson sticking his tongue out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. How could we forget? What a moment.
I think of the crisp grass. Their grass on the field is immaculate.
Oh,
immaculate.
Man.
True grass.
Not the turf stuff.
Not the turf stuff. I'm not a fan of the turf stuff, to be honest. Yeah. Their grass is immaculate. And then I think of Mark Stoops jumping and body surfing, I guess.
That was Missouri.
That was not Missouri.
That was Missouri.
There was a big dance party at South Carolina.
Well, I guess when I – yeah, my senior year –
He didn't crowd surf.
He didn't crowd surf.
But he did get up.
Okay. Well, then that's what I think of.
He was standing on the chair.
I'm pulling out the sledgehammer. I'm going Cats.
Oh. No. Come on. We can't have Freddie's negative energy.
Oh.
He's got to watch tape.
Oh, man. I don't know about this, Chuck. Oh, gosh. Doc Thompson, how are you feeling about this game?
I feel pretty good about it. I mean, I think that we got our scare. I think we'll come out. I think Rodriguez has got to be just chomping at the bits to run all over them. And I think the offensive line will step up. The last series, they looked really good there in the last game. I think they turned it around. I think everybody's worried about the O-line for good reason. I mean, they had – first game of the year they didn't run it very well against Missouri they crushed it on the ground, and the last game struggle on the ground. So if there's any indication, they got 1 week off, they'll be fresh, they'll be ready. I think it'll be a close game. I don't think it's definitely going to be a blowout down in South Carolina. I'll stick to what I said right after the game to a few guys. I think it's 10 points for us. I think I'll go as far as say 31-21.
You taking a hammer out on that one?
I'm going to just throw a score out there. I feel good about it.
Oh, that's a hammer.
I, I don't know if I'm chiseling away. I don't know if I'm hammering away. But I'll go. I mean, listen, the guys gave us 30 points last week, so we got some to make up here in Vegas. I think we'll make up a few of them here. So I'll go 10 points, and I think we pull out the W and come back for a night game against Florida, which I'm already salivating about.
So if Kentucky wins, it's more likely 6 than 7, right? Or is it more likely 7 than 6, the time on the Florida game?
Oh, 6 is the win.
Okay.
Because that 6 is on ESPN.
Yeah,
the big
that's
stick.
The good game. Okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
I like the 6 o'clock. We talked about this off the air earlier. 6 o'clock, that's just right for me.
Yeah. It's night, but it's not – like the first half, there's just the sun's going to be up for some of it. So you're going to get the cool sunset in the background of the Krog. It's going to look immaculate.
And it adds an hour to your celebration.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, the game doesn't end at 11:30. Instead, it's more like 10-ish. Oh, man. Plenty of time to go out and enjoy some cocktails.
Yeah, or sit in the press box and drink coffee with you.
Yeah, oh, that's awful. That's a great time as well. Freddie, are you feeling positive?
I think South Carolina's strength of the team is the front seven defensively, especially the front four. Very good. Jabari Ellis, Kingsley and Jabari is a very good player. Aaron Sterling, Pickens in there. I think Kentucky's strength offensively and for the team is the defensive line. So I like how that crosses out.
The offensive line?
Offensive line. The reason I'm picking Kentucky to win, one, I think they have better players, better roster. Two, I believe 100% Mark Stoops. I think he is over there right now, or he's on his talk show right now, but he'll go back and just start wearing people out. And I 100% believe in Mark Stoops, and I believe in this football team. But I do agree with you, Doc. I think it could get close at times. It's going to be an uncomfortable 3 hours. But I like Kentucky. If I will say this, the team that has the most run yards will win this game. I know that's old cliche, but if Kevin Harris goes crazy for 150 or plus, that could be bad news for Kentucky. If C-Rod goes for 150 plus, I think Kentucky wins easily.
Can't let this be Kevin Harris's breakout game, but no. I do expect the Big Blue Ball to bounce back in a very big way.
Yeah,
they're going to
be. But
challenged.
I'm taking Kentucky.
Yeah. Here we go.
There we go.
Hey, folks, the Cats. It wasn't the prettiest thing, but it was a good wake up call for them. And Kentucky, they didn't hit in as many shots as they did last week. But they will this week. They're going to be physical in the run game, establish that early, and get back to playing Kentucky football. Man, it's been a lot of fun. Doc Thompson, we appreciate you. Appreciate
Love
everybody
it.
At Justice Dental. Y'all got to go check them out firsthand, like Drew and Freddie do.
Yeah, I'll probably be there. Come say hi.
We need to just set up the podcast in the waiting room.
Yeah,
I think we do the podcast there one time, guys. Come on over. Oh. Free floss for the whole crew. Absolutely.
Oh, hey.
You never know what could happen.
Now we're talking our
great language. Waiting room, too.
Yeah, they do.
I don't have to wait there long because they're always ready and on time. But yeah. I like to be early.
Very efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm bad about showing up early.
That's all right. You know what? I mean, the waiting room is kind of like dissolved with the COVID stuff anyways. But, you know, we could be safe. We could do it in a good environment. Look forward to seeing people. I mean, we talk – I can think of 3 or 4 patients today that I think we talked cats for probably 10 minutes and teeth for maybe, I don't know,
I
one second. But anyways, you.
You
know, I mean, that's just following a game, you know. I mean, a lot of UK fans in there, obviously.
I have a question for you, Doc.
Please.
So, as you get more and more years in your practice,
sure.
Do you understand dentist chair talk better as you get more experience with it? Because it's hard to talk when you got – you know, fingers in your mouth and all that.
Yeah. All right, I got you.
Have you gotten better at understanding what people are saying, or is it still like whatever?
Yeah, I think so. You remember when that, like about a year or two ago, there was a big game. You put like the mouth prop in your mouth, and everybody was doing that game and trying to. Yeah, that's I was dominating that game. Let's put it that way. I mean, I didn't lose any of those, and so no, absolutely. I mean, with I will say dentures come a long way. I mean, a lot of times nowadays it's not as invasive as it used to have to be. So when you were growing up, Freddie, there was probably a couple things going on down in Kentucky that, you know, we don't have to do anymore, fortunately. So it's a lot more comfortable than it used to have to
be. Yeah, you didn't have to stand on my chest.
No, none of that. No, absolutely. You were snoring, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, you give me the parking lot, lay the gas to me. I'm fine with that.
Oh, man. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Check out Justice Dental. Today, tomorrow, in the next 2 weeks, but you need to check them out soon. And you need to be hyped, ready to rock and roll this Saturday when Kentucky goes to Williams-Brice Stadium. It's going to be crazy, and it's going to be fun. I mean, that crowd, there's nothing better than silencing a rowdy crowd, and that's exactly what the Cats are doing Saturday. Thank you all so much for listening to this edition of the KSR Football Podcast.
And peep the technique. Don't sweat the technique.